World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun.
Yes, sirree. There's something happening here, Jared. You can go ahead and pull that down there. There's something happening here. And what it is becoming more and more clear, isn't it? In fact, I've thinking this morning as I was getting ready to come down and do the show, the world's on fire, the culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. How long ago did I make that video? Boy, oh boy, that audio. Did I have that audio made 20, 25 years ago? No, I don't want to be a Rush Limbaugh, see, I told you so, but I've been crying this from the rooftops since I was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union in 1997 for having prayer with our football teams. I said, the British are coming. Hey, the British are coming. I've met the enemy, and it is us. Listen, folks, they hate Christ. They hate the name of Christ. They hate the lordship of Christ. They hate the power of Christ. They hate the grace of Christ. They hate Christ. And if you're one of those that are sitting out there today, and you still think that this is black against white, liberal against conservative, Republican against Democrat, old against, if you think that is the fight, you have got yourself a serious mental issue. That's all I can tell. That's all I can tell you. And I was reminded this morning as I say in our prayer before we went on the air that my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear. And you know what I see more and more and more and more? I cannot believe the voices that supposed Christians are hearing. Now listen. My sheep hear my voice. So if you're hearing all that fear and you're responding to all that fear and you're believing all that racism and you're believing all that stuff, folks, you are not hearing his voice. You're not hearing his voice. God is not the author of confusion. When you see confusion all around you, you need to immediately understand the enemy's at work. It's at work. I got up this morning, sat down and getting prepared to do the show, and I went online, and it is a ball of confusion. Can we stop here for a second? Can we rewind a little bit, folks? Are y'all still with me here? Do we understand exactly what's happened to the United States of America since March? That would be March, April, May. We're heading into June. Do you understand the lies and deception and misinformation and disinformation and confusion that has been sweeping over the United States over the last 3 months, 90 some days? I don't know. When did the first lockdown order come? I don't know exactly when it was. But America has been nothing but a ball of confusion. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. The virus grows on doorknobs. Oh, no, it doesn't grow on doorknobs, right? It gets the old. No, it doesn't get the old. It gets the young. No, it doesn't get the young. You got a shelter in place. No, you don't have to shelter in place. You can go here. You can't. A ball of confusion. That's what we're dealing with. We're still dealing with it today. And we know where confusion comes from. God's not the author of confusion. We know that, right? But I want to say with an open mind and open heart here as best as I can this morning, folks, we deserve whatever comes. I don't know what's coming. I don't know. I want to hug my grandkids even tighter. I don't know what's coming. I promise you this, we deserve it. We deserve it. And all this stuff going on, all this Black Lives Matter and all this, all of this, all of this, all of this, this nation still will not stop the slaughter of unborn children. If there's anything that the Lord hates, folks, six things the Lord hates, those seven are an abomination to him. Hands that shed innocent blood. See, the blood of the innocents, it's a national sin. It's a national sin. It's a sin that can only be repented of nationally. Now, for those of you who are watching right now, who maybe at some point in your life were engaged in an abortion, whether you had one, whether you paid for one, whether you helped someone go get one, whether you drove them to the clinic, whether you encouraged them to, whatever, personal repentance is available. It's under the blood. Lord, I did it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. The Bible says, he, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You confess your sin, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is personal repentance, my friends, but there is also national or corporate repentance. And the church hadn't done it. We haven't done it. The church body politic, whatever that thing is, excuse me, I got a frog this morning, still winks and nods at the slaughter of unborn children. And no matter how much I apologize or you apologize, and no matter how much, whatever, there's been no corporate repentance. And corporate repentance, as you all know, requires the end of the sin. I cannot continue to confess my sins and continue in the sin. I can't do, folks, I can't do that. I can't continue to repent of pornography and continue to watch pornography. I can't continue to pick whatever it is. I can't continue to repent of beating my wife and continue to beat my wife. Can't do it. I cannot continue to fornicate, have an affair with another woman. I can't repent of it and continue in that sin. You can't do it. Confession and repentance. You cannot do it. Until the United States of America ends the slaughter of unborn children, there can be no national repentance. And with the church can say, well, listen, we're not the ones that are doing it. It's the government that did it. It's the Supreme Court that said it. Our hands are clean, Lord. Our hands are clean. Now, that ain't going to fly. That ain't going to fly. For the scriptures tell us that for you to know to do good and you not to do it to you, it's sin. It's sin. It's sin. Folks, we are in grave, grave, deep, deep, deep sin in America. Deep sin. Deep sin. And I would cry out to whoever. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, folks? The devil's out in the streets. I don't know if you've picked up on that. The devil's out in the streets. Can you imagine if God's people were out in the streets demanding the end of the slaughter? Could we do it? Can we see, just by watching, can we see the chaos that the left is causing, that the God haters are causing, the chaos that they are causing by their appearance in the streets? Now, their appearance in the street is accompanied by violence and destruction. Violence and destruction equals fear. Fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And of, I'm going to say this again. They have fear. We have power. The left has fear. We have power. God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's the left. But he's given to us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And a sound mind would be a church that stands up and says, that's enough. No more baby slaughtering. That's what a sound mind would do. And until we do that, this kind of stuff, this is my take on it. It's my take on it. As I like to say, I do a teaching on it. Why should God bless America? Why can somebody give me a reason why God should bless America? God bless America. And why should God bless America? Good, Vinny.
I didn't want you to stop singing, but yes. Okay, why do we think we can buy our way into heaven? Because this is what these people are still doing. It's what they're still doing. They're still buying their way into heaven.
Vinny, we're trying to ignore our way into heaven.
Amen.
We're trying to ignore our way into heaven. Folks, this is part of yesterday's Sunday show. If you didn't miss it, I thought it was a keeper. Every institution, every position of authority, every institution, I say that, is under control of evil people. Every one of them. Maybe not your local church. I pray it's not in your local church. But I can tell you, the attack on your local church, your small local church, is just as strong. Amen. It's just as strong. And we don't get it, see. We don't get it. So I'm here today with I don't want to say heavy heart. I'm going to Lincoln, Nebraska this weekend. Finally get away to it's the Freedom Rally out there, Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm going to get a chance to go there. Got some other things. We're trying to – did I just switch gears on you? Yeah, I just switched gears on you. Hey, if you think God, Almighty God is – church, I'm talking to the church. If you think that God is winking and nodding and laughing at the slaughter of unborn children, you don't know the Lord. He's a God of wrath. God of wrath, folks. Our country is on fire. It's on fire. Millions and millions and millions of dollars in destruction. Can I give you some encouragement? The left is in a panic. The devil is in full-blown panic. Full-blown panic. That's the good news. The bad news is church still isn't awake. Church still doesn't understand that we are at war. We don't understand that the spiritual war has broken out in the natural realm. We don't understand this. We don't understand it, folks. What we are seeing is ungodly, unnatural behavior, anger, wrath. Folks, this isn't about racism. I got a lot of good stuff on that today. A lot of good stuff. And I could tell you something else you could do. If you want to spend some time, I didn't take a whole lot of time to do it. I spent a little bit of time. Was this thing a setup? Was it a setup? If you were the devil, the devil's in a panic. If the last beacon of hope of Christianity on the planet, my opinion, the once great Christian United States of America, if I was the devil and I had a way to bring down this once great Christian nation, I would target all of my forces towards it, towards its destruction. And whether you like Donald Trump or whether you don't like Donald Trump, whether you think he's part of the Kabbalah, whether you don't think he's part of the Kabbalah, I've been saying for 3 years, the opportunity for the church to be the church is right before us. And the church has refused to stand up and take the mantle. I'm going to stop right there and let somebody say amen. What we're seeing right now is the failure of the church to rise to the occasion. In fact, when the heat got the hottest, the church voluntarily closed its doors. You can argue all you want to with me. You can make all the excuses you want to, how you were social distancing and being good citizens and you didn't want to get people get sick. You can say that all you want to, but see, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. So if you were hearing that voice of fear, folks, you were not hearing the voice of God. No. And if they were, if you closed down your church because the government said to, you're not here. I'm telling you, you're not hearing the voice of God. Whoever made that decision, you're not hearing the voice of God. No. Christians run to the battle. They don't run away from it. They don't. Church is not a safe place. It's not a safe place. And so the enemy has thrown out everything he's got, or is beginning to throw out everything he's got. Our cities are burning. Oh, I got so much good stuff for you. I'll shut up for a minute. That was just kind of running my mouth for 15 minutes.
Hey, Coach.
Come on in, Glenn. Come on in, Glenn.
I have to say, just give me a minute here. So I watched a couple of online services yesterday, and the pastors were beside themselves. In fact, one pastor was asking the congregation to help him out, help him understand. And where they were coming from is that these are white men that just grew up in a white culture and really were at a loss to address, a couple of multicultural churches to what had happened. But then I was encouraged last night. So I think a lot of pastors, they just don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. But I was encouraged last night. Lance Wallnau did a webinar, and I was very encouraged by what Jeremiah Johnson and Mario Murillo had to say. They were saying that it's time that the Christians take to the streets. Mm. And I thought to myself, sometimes, and I'm speaking for myself, that we in the Q think that we're the only ones get it. But I was encouraged by what I saw was Christian leaders saying the same thing that you've been saying for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are some people that are waking up.
Hey, Glenn, we know boots on the ground work, don't we, Glenn? All we got to do is watch the left. Boots on the ground matter. It matters. Why won't we do that? By the way, I happen to be one of those guys. I like Lance Wallnau. In fact, I was scrolling last night, and I saw he had that webinar. And Murillo, he has been right on. Franklin Graham, all Franklin Graham can do is ask us to pray. That's the most pathetic. No, I'm not making fun of prayer. But that's all he asks us to do. Pray. Just pray. What? Pray. I got some stuff to show you today. It's going to occur. Somebody else, come on in. Good word, Glenn. Good. I think you're waking up too, Glenn. And isn't it?
Hey,
hang on a second. Isn't it sad that our pastors don't know what to do?
Amen.
They haven't been doing it for 20 years. They don't know what to do because they haven't been doing anything for 20 years except playing church. The British are coming. Been screaming, the British are coming. The British are coming. They don't want to hear it. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Pastors don't know what to do. Now, out of the structure that the, quote, church out there has established, the pastor is supposed to be the one connected to God. If he don't know what to do, what are the other folks have a chance? I tell you what, that's how they have bastardized. That's how they have destroyed the church.
And it's yep, it is, brother. It's right in our face. Paul Webb, come on in, Paul. Good to hear from you. My wife was asking the other day, you ever hear from Paul? I said, he's sitting there every once in a while. Good to hear you, Paul.
Well, I was just saying, maybe this thing with the churches wasn't so much that God used these evil leaders to shut down the church because they weren't being effective anyway.
Amen. I think so too. Right? A lot of times we blame the devil for things that the Lord's doing. Hey, Paul, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Listen, Paul, this is me. I won't wear that racism label. I absolutely refuse to wear it. I won't apologize. I won't. And people say, well, we have to reach out to our black brothers and sisters. We have to show them that we care. Okay, I get it. Hey, Paul, the majority of black America does not agree with what's going on in the streets. Do they, Paul?
Basically, a couple things here. And as I said before, I don't really believe there's such thing as racism. It's made up terminology.
I'm going to get to
that.
We're
all the same race.
Right.
It's ethnicities and stuff. Yeah. But because we're all the same race. Okay. A lot of these people that are doing this stuff, we're not, most of the people, I would say, I live here in Tulsa. We had a little stuff happen here last night. Little dust up and stuff going on where people were just, causing stuff, trouble and stuff like that. A lot of it is people that are outside agitators that aren't even a part of the city. And, that's what a lot of it is. A lot of it is.
And then they find the useful, they find the useful idiots inside the city that partner with them. And that one.
Yeah.
Well,
see, the thing is, the bigger picture is, like you're saying, Coach, this whole thing is basically what they're doing is they're taking, the coronavirus is failing.
It failed, man.
Okay.
Russia failed. Ukraine failed. It all failed, brother. It all failed.
Well, the coronavirus is failing. And so now, because now you haven't heard a whole lot about the coronavirus. It's on like the back burner now.
Right.
So this is being used to kind of continue to try to destroy this country.
So you have
spirit. So now add a little tension and,
You have spiritualized, don't you, Paul? You have spiritual eyes, right? See, it's what we're talking about, folks. You have spiritual eyes. Can you see? Can you not see what's going on? Appreciate you, Paul. Thanks for being in here this morning. This is great, folks. There's great desperation on the left. Great. On the left, when I'm talking about the left, I'm talking about the God haters. There's great desperation. And listen, it's not about Donald Trump. Folks, hear me. It's about the awakening of the body of Christ. That's the devil senses an awakening. Folks, you better hear me. The devil senses an awakening. And he knows that if that Goliath ever raises from the dead, he knows his time is short. That's what's going on. It's an awakening of the body of Christ. And I ran into a lost friend yesterday, a friend who is profoundly lost. And we were discussing what's going on. You know what he said to me? He says, man, oh man, did they overplay their hand? He said, everybody saw what happened with that guy and everybody thought it was wrong. And then they overplayed their hand. So, boy, there you are. There you are. Why? Because the devil is flailing. He's desperate, folks. Desperate.
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw, there's two things in my spirit that just rang true. One of them I posted on Facebook yesterday. I'm going to my page because you're one of them. So I just would prefer to read it because it is. It's the clashing of two kingdoms.
Yes, sir.
Light and darkness. This is what I wrote. In the past 25 years that my wife, I, our children, plus hundreds of friends, that would be you also, who have protested, or what I prefer to say, proclaimed the gospel at places of business that murder innocent people, like this Floyd, babies at abortion clinics. Never once did we turn violent. Never once did we smash windows in businesses. Never once did we loot or steal. Never once did we burn police cars, throw rocks, bottles, bricks, nor anything else at people. Check your spiritual walk. If you agree with returning evil for evil and violence for violence and smashing innocent people's property in an unjust way and demanding justice, you're not saved. Enough said. Now,
amen, Dale.
On the second point, I shared this. I know I've shared this several times. When coronavirus started, I said when the churches were not allowed to be inside, they needed to come out. You are the salt and the light of the world. And if we have refused to be the salt because what? They kowtowed and they closed their doors and we're going to stay in our houses now. He says, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to what? Be trampled underneath the foot of man.
There you are, brother. That's what we're seeing, isn't it, Dale, huh? That's what we see. Folks, listen. Hey, Jared, get up there. It says they let the cities burn. That's like the fourth or fifth one down there. Hey folks, listen. I'm just going to tell you the truth. There's a lot of exposing that's going on. The church closed its doors. And then last Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled. Did you see it? I'll get it up on the screen for you in a second. 5-4, the Supreme Court ruled that church just another business. And if the government can regulate when other businesses can be open, then they can regulate when the church can be open. 5-4, emergency ruling. U.S. Supreme Court. See, they are trampling all over Almighty God. They're kicking God in the teeth in front of everybody, and the church doesn't arise yet. Go ahead. Come in.
Yeah, I'm going to play off of what Glenn talked about. Glenn talked about he was encouraged because of Lance Wallnau's. So think about this. The church pastor wakes up and says, we shouldn't do this. Now look at what he's up against. Look at how you have shaped this group of people of 49 in the queue and who watches, how long it's taken, what you've had to push back against. See, a pastor waking up now, we can be encouraged, but without the people in the pews to support him, without us, Coach, what would you be doing? You know, so how is that pastor and other pastors going to push through all of this stuff? What you got on the screen right there. See, pastors are going to hear that they're more controlled. It's going to take courage in these pastors.
Boy, it is, Mark.
Oh, now, where goodness. Are those pastors that have courage? Where are they? Where are they? And I would be encouraged, too. But they got a big, ugly ship with a bunch of parishioners that don't do anything, you know, and they're comfortable. How do they act when they're not comfortable, right?
That's right. That's right. Folks, I'm looking at the screen. It says I got about seven different directions I want to go this morning. But the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The very first thing mentioned in the U.S. Constitution, the Supreme Court says doesn't apply. But that's what they said. Church is just another business.
We let them turn our church into a business. What happened?
Hey, Coach.
Right?
Those aren't laws. That's an opinion.
That's right, brother. That's by Paul. That's exactly where I was going to go.
If the church is same as a business, that means there's separation in business and state. That means they got no say in the business either, right?
It would seem that way, right?
Yeah, I think the court's opinion is correct. Most of these churches are just a business.
I'm with you on that one. Amen. I'm with you on that one. Okay, yes, sir.
Yes, I just have a question, backtracking a little bit. So those of us who are red-pilled, other than having conversations with on a one-on-one basis to try to wake them up to the reality of all this stuff, what can we be doing to effect change?
Good work, Gary. All right. Okay.
Amen.
I got three things I want to show you. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Hey, Coach.
I'm trying to figure out what order I want to do them in. Yes.
Yeah, nothing specific about what we should be doing. There's all kinds of things that are on the table out there. But here's the what I look at the bottom line about why we should be doing what. And that is, for ages now, we have been reacting to the other side and what they do. They do something, we react to it. They do something, we react to it. We have an opportunity for circumstances to produce an environment where we can be proactive. We can control the direction things go in. And what do? We sit around and we look for something to be reactive to.
That's because the way we're programmed, Larry. It's the way we're programmed. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry to jump around here this morning, but the subject just changed a bit. Click on racism origins. Folks, here's the number one thing. Here's the number one thing that I believe we all can do. We all need to confront this idea of racism head on. Racism, listen to me, is made up. Folks, listen to me. Racism is made up. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say this to the church.
Amen.
Hey, church, racism is made up. I'm going to say it again. Church, quit biting on the loaf of bread called racism. Hey, church, quit apologizing for racism. As long as you continue to apologize for racism, you are on the wrong end of the stick. Racism is made up. How do I know? Well, National Vanguard, the curious beginning of a useless word. The Oxford English Dictionary is a multi-volume reference work that is one of Western scholarship's most remarkable achievements, and the standard dictionary of the English language on what are known as historical principles. And unlike most dictionaries, the OED also provides information on the first historic appearance and usage of words. The range of the erudition is astounding, but for our readers, one of the most interesting entries for the word racism. Am I sitting down? According to the second edition of 1989, the earliest known usage of the word racism in the English language occurred in 1936 in a book by the American fascist Lawrence Dennis in The Coming American Fascism. The second usage of the term in the English OED was written in Germany in 1933 and 34 and first published in 1938, Racism by Magnus Hirschfeld, translated by Eden Cedar Paul, since Hirschfeld died in 1935. Folks, who was Hirschfeld? What did he care? He was a German Jewish medical scientist whose major work was in the field of what came to be known as sexology, a buddy of Kinsey. Ah!
Propagandist.
Oh my goodness. Oh my. 1930. Wasn't even a word. You go to Webster's and look up racism. It wasn't even a word. Hang on. Scroll on down, Jared. His major work was a study of homosexuality. But he also published many other books, monograms, and articles dealing with sex. He wrote a 5-volume treatise on sexology, as well as some other 150 works, and helped write and produce 5 films on the subjects. It's fair to say that his words were intended. It is fair to say, I'm speaking to Christians. It's fair to say that his works were intended to send a message that traditional Christian and bourgeoisie sexual morality was repressive, irrational, hypocritical, and that emancipation would be a first major step forward. His admiring translators, Eden and Cedar Paul, in their introduction to racism, write of his unwearying champion of the cause of persons who, because their sexual hormonic functioning is of unusual type, are persecuted by their more fortunate fellow mortals. Long before the sexual revolution, 1960s, Magnus Hirschfeld was crusading for the normalization of homosexuality and abnormal sexual behavior. Oh, the devil is everywhere, isn't he? Oh my. Racism is largely devoted to a highly polemical refutation of some of the main racial ideologies and theories of the 19th and 20th centuries. Scroll on down to the third from the bottom paragraph, Jared. Racism is what? Well, go to the bottom, come up 3. 1, 2, 3. Racism, therefore, is a term originating on the left. And has been so defined and loaded with meanings that the left wants to have it that cannot now be used by the supporters of... I'm going to read that again because racism, therefore, is a term originating on the left and has been so defined and loaded with meanings the left wants it to have that it cannot now be used by the supporters of white racial consciousness of any constructive purpose. Anyone who uses the term to describe himself or his own views has already allowed himself to be maneuvered onto his opponent's ground and has already lost the debate. He may try to define the word differently, but he will need to spend most of his time explaining that he does not mean it by what everyone else means. Is this it? What's going on? As a term useful for communicating ideas that the serious supporters of white racial consciousness wish to communicate, the term is useless. And it was intended by those who developed it that it would be useless for that purpose. Now, you tell me whether or not the church has taken the bait on racism. Go, Paul.
Well, you know, another useless word, white privilege.
Same thing, man. Hey, Paul. So you accuse me of being racist. How do I defend that? No, I'm not. How do you? That is an undefendable charge. And exactly. I'm gonna tell you something. This whole, folks, please hear me. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. See, the battle, folks, I want to come up with a new term. a new term. Because we can go to the Bible and we know what the Bible says. There's no Jew, there's no Greek. There's no such thing as race. Folks, there's the human race. There's no such thing as race. It's a social construct, okay? But listen to me. Really what it ought to be is classism. Classism. And what we're talking about, classism, the real problem that we see in the streets in all the cities around America is lower class people thinking they've been getting ripped off. And the lower class people thinking they've been getting ripped off are being told, well, it's happening to you because you're black. Can I tell you the truth? Equal justice tour. I've been screaming that for a year. Unequal justice. There's unequal justice in America. It's not a skin color. It isn't a skin color. And every one of us, as we look around in America, know that America is an unfair place. America is not fair. The Lord wants justice, equal justice, but there's not equal justice. And here's what's happened to us. Somewhere along the line, they told a group of people, you don't have equal justice because you're black. And it's stuck.
That's it, brother. Amen.
It's stuck.
Straight up.
Folks, there's no equal justice. There's bond and free, rich and poor. There's the haves and the have-nots. Everywhere you look, there are groups of people, classified of people, of people, of people. And so what you see pouring out into the streets are these agitators who've come into areas and have said, okay, listen, you are oppressed because you are black.
Hey, it's Whitey. Whitey took all your stuff. Go get Whitey.
Whitey took all your stuff. He took all your stuff. And what do the churches do? Oh, we have to understand the plight of the black man. Now listen.
When you hit him.
Listen, hang on a second. I respect Paul Webb. I respect Paul Webb. Paul, I don't know what it means to be a black guy. I've never lived in a black America. So for me to sit here and presume that I know what it's like to be black in America, I don't know what it's like to be poor either. I don't know what it's like to be fat in America. I don't know what it's like to be a homosexual. I don't know what it's like to be a lot of things in America, right? But Paul and Vinny and any other black people that are watching this show, I want you to know, I know none racist black white people who hate black. I don't know any of them. I don't know any of them.
Same here, Coach. Same here.
And yet, the church, what does the church have to do? Church has to constantly apologize for, what is it? Institutional racism. Are you kidding me? Have you seen some of the poor people, Buckeye Lake? Have you seen some of the poor white people? And some of these, I got to be careful what I said. My wife said to me yesterday, honey, be careful. You're saying something about people. It's hitting close to, I grew up, my dad grew up with dirt floors. He was poor. He crawled his way out of it. It's been 60 years, and the churches are still apologizing over racism. And dare I say it, because nobody else will, half of the babies murdered in abortion are black. Not a pulpit saying anything about it. Trying to understand the plight of the black man. And see, here's the soft bigotry of low expectations. We think it's okay for black girls to kill their unborn children because they're poor and oppressed. Are you kidding me? Have you ever been to the abortion clinic? Let me tell you something. It ain't poor women going in there. You bought the lie, church. You bought the stinking lie, church.
Hey, Coach, when they're all standing in line, don't they all have iPhones? It's all a bunch of crap.
Hey, poor Vinny. They're not poor. They're morally bankrupt.
That's
they're
right.
Morally bankrupt. Black America and white America are morally bankrupt.
Exactly. Racism. They're poor in morals. They're bankrupt in morals. They're not
it ain't racism, folks. It ain't racism. See, nobody will say it. Nobody will talk straight we like this because it, why? We're all afraid to be called a racist. Well, I'm not one, and I won't be called one, and I won't accept it. I'm not one. There is no such thing as a different type of race. There are different ethnicities, but there are not different races. Folks, I just
need the
proof. It's stinking made up. In the church?
It's a bunch of crap, Coach. It's crap.
It's a bunch of crap. It's a toe. So Gary said, what do we do? Whew, I'm going to need some oxygen.
We expose it.
We expose it. We begin to speak up. We begin to quit caring what others think about the truth.
Yeah, Coach.
It's all lies.
Here, Coach, here it is. They say things like apologies, oh, regrets. Who cares about that crap? When you let babies die wantonly, who cares about your apologies and your regrets? It's all garbage. It's all semantics, Coach. Just like we tell you, it's our favorite subject.
Benny, listen, I don't care what society as a whole believes.
Of course, I don't care. Too.
But the church can't even recognize the truth.
They've taken the church's mission, they turned it to crap, Coach. That's the whole point.
The church, it wouldn't be missing it. It's the satanic social clubs, folks.
Amen, Larry.
Well, but those roots grow out. Listen. Nobody'll say this stuff. It's classism, folks. It isn't racism. It's classism. When those people, by the way, this is all being orchestrated by Antifa.
Amen.
It's white God haters that are stirring all these things up, right? But see, people are out in the streets. If you notice, they're stealing stuff. Why? Because they want what the rich people have. They don't care when they go to downtown Columbus and they smash windows, they don't know or care if it's a white business owner or black. They don't care. They don't care. They're pushing back against what?
The fact that
they don't have what other people have. That's what they're pushing back against.
Most of those people don't know who George Floyd is anyway.
They don't even know who he is anyway, right?
Hey. But Coach, even worse than that, how did they think, well, does this stuff just appear in people's houses? People earn those things. That's how they got them. They keep them.
We are morally bankrupt. It's not racism. It is not racism. Stop using the line. Stop buying it. Stop talking about it in your churches. Stop saying, how can we help the black community? Can I ask you something? How come nobody's saying, how can the Asians help the white community? The Asian kids, those Asian kids are so smart. Maybe we can bring them in and they can smarten up the white community. Can you imagine anything more ridiculous than that? We would never say that, except inherently in our mind, the world has convinced us that blacks are dumb, stupid, and poor. That's what they've convinced us. And whether we admit it or not, we want to believe it. That's the ultimate racism.
It didn't work on me. It didn't work on Paul. It didn't work on a whole bunch of
people. It didn't work on me either. It didn't work on me. Morality, morals. Marry the mother of your children. Raise your families. It's moral bankruptcy.
But
it's
Coach,
not just in Black America. But Coach, see, Black America is easy to manipulate.
Coach,
yes, if I'd be dead, I'd be a dead man. Dead. There's no way I wouldn't have survived. I survived only because of my morals. Understand
that? That's right. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, what's so funny is look who they run to in the quote unquote black community: entertainers and athletes.
Money, right?
And you got LeBron James talking about, it's so terrible. They hate us. I said, wait a minute, fool. How much money you make?
White people come to watch him. White people buy his
exactly.
Shoes.
And isn't a white guy your owner?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Paul, the point I'm making is the church is buying a hook, line, and sinker.
Well, Dave, it goes back to the comment I made Sunday about hirelings. You know, this show has taught me, I was so frustrated with the church that I was going to. And then it finally, God hit me upside the head with the two before. And he said, well, there are shepherds out there and there are hirelings. Which one are you sitting under? And it just knocked me over. And it's like, that's it. I've got a hireling for a pastor, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I send him emails. The part I'm trying to do, somebody asked, what can we do? When I get inspired by this show, I burn an email off to my pastor and I copy other associate pastors. And I know they probably think I hate them and why do I even go to the church? Well, I've stopped going there now. But I continue to send them the emails, hoping to witness to them that they might wake up so they could encourage the 2,000 members in the church. You know, I can't encourage 2,000 people, but maybe I can encourage him then to encourage those. But, you know, I've started reading your book that you told, you know, you talked about pagan Christianity.
Yeah.
This is thousands of, well, in our country, hundreds of years of walking down that crooked path. And we've gotten off the path. The church has gotten off the path to where we still think it's scriptural. And that's why we're where we're at. You know, it's just.
See, the church, listen, folks, look, I got a couple things I got to show you here. I know some of you want to get in here, and I want to hear from you, but I got a couple things I got to show you. Hey, Jared, first of all, pull up the third thing. It says 7-minute mark. Medics arrive. Folks, I want you to see something. I believe the power. Do you guys know? I'm going to show you a video here in a second. Did you know that the Minneapolis police stood down? Did you know that the Minneapolis police let the rooting go? They didn't fight. They didn't do it. Who made that decision? Who made that decision? And then this blew me away, Jared. Do you have it up there? I'll go to the 7-minute mark. Folks, I'm not even going to say anything. I want you to right now, as we get ready to play this video here of George Floyd being whatever. I want you to picture in your mind right now a medic. You call the emergency squad a medic. And the medics arrive. What picture in your mind that you were a trained EMT medic, and you are called to a place where you have a guy who's in distress. Okay, all right. Now I'm thinking, if it's me, I'm going to get down. I'm going to take his pulse. Go check his vitals. I'm going to begin mouth to mouth. I'm going to resuscitate him right where he is. We don't have time. We have no time. That's me. And help me out here. Do medics carry guns? I want you to watch about this minute, 30-second clip. And you watch the medics and their behavior, the way you watch how they handle this. And you tell me if something's amiss here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just asking. Go ahead.
Bro, are you serious? And you gonna keep your thing on your neck? Yeah, I bet you. Bro, I barely touched me like that, dude. I swear I slapped the fuck out of both of y'all.
There's the medic van finally. There it is. The medic van has arrived.
Let him keep his hand on his neck, bro.
There's the stretcher.
Tao, you gonna let him keep that like that? You gonna let him kill that man in front of you, bro? Huh?
Like what?
Bro, he's not even fucking moving right now, bro. He's not even fucking moving.
This is what it is. We gotta deal with this,
bro.
They're not gonna help us, bro.
Hit from the medics.
They don't care.
97 years.
If it ain't they people, they don't care, bro.
You gonna just sit there with your knee on his neck, bro? You a bro?
Police officer,
that, bro. He ain't handcuffed.
Look at him,
bro.
Here comes. Did they check his pulse?
The fact that you guys aren't checking his pulse and doing compressions if he needs that, you guys are on another level.
Oh my god, bro.
Okay.
They just dragging him like, come on now.
And I have your name tag, bitch.
That's not very professional.
It don't matter. So what? Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, folks. Don't touch him. I got this all on camera. Watch out.
You touched him.
You went to him. So shut up. You went to him. Y'all always try to start something.
Somebody, am I missing something here? Is Chad in here? Am I missing something here? Huh?
Well, they didn't even strap him down to the bed. They didn't secure him so he didn't fall off the gurney.
Look at the strap hanging there. Look at the strap. They didn't check a vital. They didn't look in his eyes. Is that a medic? Is that a medic?
Coach, can I say it? Can I say PSYOP?
I don't even want to go there, Vinny. I just look at this and say, what the heck is going on? What in the heck is going on? Is Bobby Lee in here? I wish Bobby was in here. His girlfriend's a special medic. I don't listen. I'm just pointing.
My wife said, and she's a nurse. She said, yeah, that whole scene there, something wasn't right there because he's unconscious. The first thing they're going to do, just what that person yelled, check his pulse.
Clear his airwave. Clear his airwave.
They're checking for a pulse because he could be breathing. They want to know, is he breathing or is he not? They're going to check a pulse. And his pulse, he was already dead at that scene. They saw the bodily fluid. When the bodily fluid is on the ground, something's not good there. Something's going south.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so I want to go to another one. Let me go.
All they did is come out with a cart. They didn't even have a crash bag with them.
What do you think, Joseph? You've had some dealing in this. What do you think when you see this video? Am I crazy, Joe?
Yeah. They didn't check nothing. They didn't even have a crash bag or anything. They don't even move the. You're not even supposed to move the body.
Of course, you stabilize his neck, right?
Right.
The possibility this guy has a broken neck. They stabilize him. They picked him up like a rag doll.
They threw him up on the gurney. They didn't even check him.
Didn't even check him. Okay, let me go to one other thing, Jared. Let the city burn. Let the city burn. Now, folks, I came across this. This is all, folks. Open your eyes. Church, open your eyes. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Hey, Jared, put this on about one time and a half, and I think it'll work. And I want you to watch this. This is breaking news from a TV station in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they say they've never seen anything like this. The cops don't come. The police don't come. Watch. These people said, what's going on? Never seen anything like it. The police stood down. The same police. What's that?
What if they burn our churches? What would they do?
What would they do? Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Sounds like we have Pat Kessler on the phone now.
Pat, please don't hang up on us again.
Yes, this is a very difficult night for everybody in Minnesota, everybody in Minneapolis and St. Paul, as we watch these protests grow. I think one of the big questions, guys, is why isn't the city stepping in? Of Minneapolis and St. Paul, why isn't the state stepping in to stop this violence, these fires, these conflagrations, these takeovers of the Minneapolis police precinct? It is a very big question. We know that the governor's office has sent 500 National Guard troops tonight to the Twin Cities to try to tamp down this violence, this looting, the fires, but we don't see them anywhere in the city. We also see tonight that President Trump has entered the fray just a few minutes ago. He tweeted that he cannot stand back and watch this happen, in his words, to a great American city. He's attributing it to the radical left mayor, in his words, Jacob Frey. Let's set that aside for just a moment. Here's what's important here. He says that he has spoken to Governor Waltz and told him that the military is available to come in and do it. But then the president says this. As any difficulty that happens from now on, he says the federal government will assume control. And he says this. When the looting starts, the shooting starts. So this is a very strong reaction from the president of the United States in the midst of this really terrible event that's happening in Minneapolis and St. Paul tonight.
Well, Pat, let's break this down a little bit. I mean, who's making the call? Is the mayor listening to the fire chief saying, I'm afraid to go in? Is the police chief saying to the fire chief, I don't have enough guys to protect your fire equipment? I mean, at some point, someone has to take some responsibility. And I think that's why you see the president getting so worked up. And I think a lot of people watching this are going, where is law enforcement? Where is the fire department? But I know that these decisions aren't made in a vacuum. How does this leadership flowchart work in terms of who is doing or not doing things?
Well, this is the most important question of tonight. We have not heard from any of our city leadership, nor have we heard from Governor Waltz about tamping down this violence. That's something I think that is very unusual in all of my years of reporting, that we have not seen our leaders come forward and say, this is what's happening, this is what we're going to do, particularly to stop this violence. So we don't know the answer to the question, Frank. We don't know why or who is not allowing the police to come in, the firefighters to come in, or the National Guard. I will say again that the National Guard has been ordered to these cities, but around the 3rd Precinct, which is burning down, which is something I think that none of us has seen in our lifetime, unprotected police department, burning down because they gave it up. They retreated and let it happen. So that's something we have not seen. We are still waiting to hear from all of these. Now, specifically to your question, the governor of Minnesota controls the National Guard. He has activated the Guard. The Guard has not yet appeared on the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul, to my knowledge. Nothing that we have seen yet.
Pat, they haven't appeared.
That's where we are.
They haven't appeared on the streets, but we did get a tweet, and there was the National Guard with the fire department, but nothing, and that was almost an hour ago.
Hour and a half now, at least.
And nothing has happened since then.
And Pat, to your point, you know, it even makes it more glaring, I think, is that every day we get an email saying we're having a briefing with the governor at 2:00 and the governor is going to have these people on and he's going to talk about COVID-19. And there has been communication and maybe over communication. And people have been praising him for how clear he's been about communicating this. But I think you bring up a good point, just the complete void of anyone coming forward tonight saying a thing.
That's the most important point of all here, that we.
What's going on, folks? The police, the fire department, the National Guard all stood down. Who's making those decisions?
Didn't they do that in Boston a couple when Obama was president? Didn't that governor there, or I mean the mayor, didn't they do that? Was it Philadelphia or Boston do that?
I don't know. I don't know, Rich. All I know is there. All I'm asking is there's. See, we don't understand the depth of the evil, do we? We don't understand it. We don't this understand it.
This is it.
We don't understand it. They don't even, folks, they arrest people for being in parks. They arrest people for, you know, right? And they burn buildings to the ground and no arrest. If I go to, I could take you to Planned Parenthood and show you a picture of Alicia being arrested for simply putting her foot on the grass on Planned Parenthood's property, arrested and detained by a cop, and they burned down cities. And evidently, they're told to stand down. Folks, there's something very wicked at work in America.
That's what they do, Coach. That's what they do. They get mad and burn stuff. That's just what they do.
Yeah, that's right. We got to expect that, right? They're really angry. And so, well, you know, so if I went in and tried to attack an abortion clinic, would they say, well, he's just really angry about the abortion. We got to let him do that. Of course not. See, again, it's the soft bigotry of low expectations. We expect them to act like animals, don't we? We expect them to.
Hey, Coach, Ron Brock sat in front of a abortion clinic and created a congressional act and a law against blocking abortion clinics. All he did was sit there. These people Amen. Are doing more than sit there, Coach. They're doing more.
There's something going on. Hey, Jared, real quickly, go to the Bible and race. I want to end up with this. I only got about 3 minutes left here. The Bible and race. Folks, there are no races. There's only one race. It's the human race. Here's 11 scriptures I just pulled up just today. Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Acts says God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him does not and does what is right. And does what is right is acceptable to him. And he made from one man every nation, mankind, to live on the face of the earth. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Colossians, here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. John says, a new covenant I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. Revelation, they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom. See, they call them a tribe, not a race. And you, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 10. And he said unto them, you yourselves know how lawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit another of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not carry any personal, common, or should not call anyone person, common, or unclean. Folks, there's the Bible. There ain't no race, church. There isn't any race, church. Hey, church, racism is a lie, church. Racism is a lie, church. Quit perpetrating it. Quit promoting it. Quit falling to the lie. Racism is a lie. It doesn't exist. Our problems are social, economic. They're moral. They're moral. Church, the problem is morality. Church, the problem is morality. It's not race. Hey, church, the problem is morality, not race. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.